Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 512. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, did everybody lose that hour and feel like you lost a day, a week, a month of your life? It's crazy, right? When we spring forward, and that sounds like such a joyous, leaping, skipping thing, and I feel like I kerplunked on the other side of this lost hour. I'm serious. I feel exhausted. One of the reasons is that yesterday I had the honor and privilege of doing something that was so amazing and transformative and moving and funny and celebratory and so many things. I was a part of a reading of the Play 8 about the Prop 8 trial. And I don't know how many of you know this play. It's by Dustin Lance Black, and he wrote Milk and won the Oscar for writing Milk, about the life of Harvey Milk, starring Sean Penn. And he wrote a play based on, or really it's almost like a courtroom transcript drama, based on the transcripts from the Perry versus Schwarzenegger case in California about Prop 8. And, you know, it's the intention of this play to be done only as a reading, to be read in settings around the U.S. to help raise attention, often raise money for organizations fighting for same-sex marriage, equal rights, equality for GLBT people around the issue of gay marriage. So I was asked to do this reading, and it was super honored to get to play one of the plaintiffs, one of the openly gay plaintiffs in the case, Sandy Steyer, who, you know, was civilly married, but not federally legally married to her partner of 10 years, Chris Perry, who is named in the case, Perry versus Schwarzenegger. And they were two of four plaintiffs in the case. It was a gay male couple and a lesbian couple. And so I was playing Sandy, and, you know, it's just really, really fascinating to feel how universal their story is. To those of us who are GLBT, just how, you know, just how powerful and relatable our stories are when you break it down to just trying to raise kids, just trying to, you know, have a life like everyone else and feel protected. And this reading. It was a big cast. I don't know, 20 some odd people in the cast representing all the different parts. And WGN's Dean Richards played the judge, and Megan Cavanaugh, who was in Scrooge and Marley with me last winter, and also many people know as Marla Hooch in A League of Their Own. She played the ultra conservative. And just some other really great actors, Kevin Tice and Patricia Kane, who has played my wife, or I've played her wife many, many times, or her lover in many, many plays over the years. Most recently, she wrote Float, which I was in. She also wrote Pulp and many other cool, mostly lesbian plays. But it was such an amazing event. Benjamin Sprunger was there, who is an openly gay actor who was in Enron with me, and actors who work at Goodman and Steppenwolf and Oak Park, you know, festival players and 16th Street players and in Oak Park, and just from Rivendell, and one of the cast members of Teddy Ferrara, which was just done at the Goodman. And you know, it was just really a cross section, ethnically, age wise, GLB, all represented there. And it was presented by the Oak Park Area Lesbian and Gay Association, OPLGA, and also by 16th Street Theater, which is in Oak Park, and the Oak Park Festival Theater and Circle Theater. So a lot of companies in the suburbs. And we were in this beautiful facility, 700-seat, beautiful, the Hemingway, I think it's called the Hemingway Museum or the Hemingway Building in Oak Park. And it was like 4/5 full on a Sunday night. I mean, how crazy is that? And there was laughter. There were representatives of PFLAG out front with bottles of water and baked goods. And let me tell you, parents of gay people make the best cookies. That was what I netted from the whole evening, even beyond the fact that we need same-sex marriage for everybody on a federal level across this nation. But parents of gay and lesbian people bake the best cookies. That's what I'm taking away. It was a great night. I hope if you're living in a town where you see 8 being read, or maybe you're somebody who says, hey, I want to read that at my college or my town or with my theater company in my city, I believe they give you the rights for free. And so, you know, this was a very affordable ticket price. I think tickets were between $10 and $20. Sometimes the readings are entirely free, but it was really a powerful night. And so glad by how many people came out, and I'm so honored to have been a part of it. So besides springing forward, besides being a part of this play reading this weekend, you know, I'm trying to move into spring, guys. The snow is melting. I know Scott Duff and I complained about the weather. But what I'm not complaining about are some really great interviews that are going to be on the show today. Jerry Nunn, my one of my celebrity correspondents, he has been jawing, as we like to call it, talking a lot, sitting on the porch and talking with a number of amazing people. And we're going to be bringing you some of those interviews like we did with Helen Reddy last week. The Clicks, they are an amazing band that I've been interviewing for a while. And they have a new CD, and their front man, trans man, Lucas Silveria, is on the show today. They have a new CD, Black Tie Elevator, and it is dropping this spring, and you can get more information at theclicks.com. That's theclics.com. And Lucas on the show today. And then also, gosh, do we remember when the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy was the phenom around the world? I mean, the early 2000s, right? Well, many of those guys have gone on to do amazing things. And one of them is the openly gay designer who really became America's favorite gay designer very quickly with that show, Tom Felicia. And he was in town for a book signing. He's got a new book, American Beauty. He has so many beautiful books. American Beauty, Renovating and Decorating a Beloved Retreat. Oh, I want a beloved retreat. He has one up in New York, and lovingly, it's kind of a part memoir and part decorating book, talks about, you know, this home And he's got lots of other books as well. So Tom Felicia is on the show with Jerry Nunn. It's a big one. GLBT News, we are waiting to hear what is going to happen in Illinois. Gay marriage is pending this week, and possibly once you've heard this podcast, depending upon when you download it this week and listen, it may be being voted on that day. So hopefully next week we'll be talking about what has happened in the House, and you know, hopefully everybody is calling your House representatives and telling other people throughout the state of Illinois, especially people who don't live in Chicago, to call their reps and say, please vote for the passage of same-sex marriage in Illinois. It's a big show. Plus, what's going on in the arts scene? So many great shows coming to town or being produced. So let's get on with it.
I'm Kurt Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. Colorado's civil unions bill, which grants same-sex couples similar rights to that of married couples, passed through the House Judiciary Committee with an 8-3 vote. All Democrats voted in favor of the bill, with one Republican joining them.
The U.S. Senate confirmed Judge Pamela Chen to be the first openly gay Asian American person to preside on a federal bench. Chen was approved for a seat on the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of New York.
Transgender nursing student Domaine Javier has filed a lawsuit against California Baptist University after being expelled from the school. Javier, 25, was expelled from the private Christian school after she appeared on an MTV show called True Life to discuss the stigma experienced by transgender people.
In Chattanooga, Tennessee, City Council candidate Chris Anderson made history when he became the first openly gay candidate to win an election there. Anderson beat a two-term incumbent to represent City Council District 7. Anderson, who was once the National Executive Vice President of the Young Democrats of America, will be one of just two openly LGBT elected officials in the state of Tennessee.
In Mesquite, Texas, 27-year-old Sandra Scarber was beaten unconscious by a man hurling anti-gay slurs at her after she tried to protect her girlfriend's son from bullies at a playground. Scarber's jaw has been wired shut as she recovers from the attack. So far, authorities do not consider the attack to be a hate crime.
As many as 6 million adults and children in the U.S. have an LGBT parent, and an estimated 3 million LGBT Americans have had a child at some point in their lives. This according to a study by the Williams Institute of UCLA. The study found that nearly half of LGBT women and a fifth of LGBT men under the age of 50 are currently raising a child.
In Connecticut, school officials have allowed a student to wear an anti-gay T-shirt, citing freedom of speech. The lawyer for the school district this month wrote to the ACLU of Connecticut, saying Wolcott's high school student Seth Grudy may wear the T-shirt, which shows a slash mark through a rainbow. The ACLU said it disagreed with Grudy's views about gay rights, but added he has the right to state those views.
For the first time, doctors are reporting that they have cured a child of HIV. The landmark finding will help scientists better understand the nature of HIV and could potentially help countless HIV-positive babies in developing countries.
Glisten praised the reintroduction of the Safe Schools Improvement Act. Senator Bob Casey, the Democrat from Pennsylvania, and Senator Mark Kirk, the Republican from here in Illinois, introduced a Senate bill with bipartisan support that addresses bullying and harassment for all students, including the categories of actual or perceived sexual orientation or gender identity.
In Tennessee, a Middle Tennessee State University poll has revealed that 62% of the state's residents oppose allowing gay and lesbian couples to marry legally. However, 57% also oppose a law forbidding any instruction or discussion of homosexuality in eighth grade and lower classes in Tennessee public schools, the gist of the so-called Don't Say Gay bill that is pending in the legislature.
Jimmy Lee Hales, a Mormon student at Brigham Young University, came out to his family and friends in a YouTube video that has been viewed more than 100,000 times. Gay Mormons exist, Hale says in the video, but it can be a lonely existence.
In Pennsylvania, 12-year-old Bailey O'Neill died after being placed in a medically induced coma following an alleged bullying incident at his suburban Philadelphia school. Two classmates allegedly jumped O'Neill. A week and a half after the incident, O'Neill began having seizures.
Daniel Chesmore and Jose Guzman were told to leave the Westfield Galleria Mall in Roseville, California, for kissing and holding hands. A security guard told TV network KPXL, any couple displaying affection could be reprimanded. However, a reporter from the station subsequently saw straight couples embracing in the same manner without any repercussions. In addition, KTXL couldn't find any mention of kissing and holding hands in the mall's code of conduct.
In West Virginia, history was made on the state legislature floor as the first openly gay lawmaker, Stephen Skinner, introduced his partner of 3 years, Jeffrey Gustafson.
In world news, Finland's parliamentary legal committee has voted against same-sex marriage. On February 27th, a bill died on a vote with 9 against and 8 in favor, meaning it will not be proposed before the full parliament. Currently, same-sex couples can register their partnerships, but have limited rights and cannot adopt their partner's children.
In Amsterdam, Netherlands, Habibi Anna, the only official gay bar in the world for Muslims, had to close down because it has violated the city's licensing regulations. Bars in Amsterdam lose their licenses after 3 infringements. Habibi Anna has broken the rules more than 3 times, so the bar had to shut down on March 2nd.
In entertainment news, gay Eagle Scout Derek Nance started a campaign on Change.org, asking pop stars Carly Rae Jepsen and Train, who've been announced as headliners for the Boy Scouts of America's 2013 Jamboree, to denounce the organization's anti-gay policies. Subsequently, both acts canceled their gigs.
Bonnie Franklin, the Golden Globe and Emmy-nominated actress from the CBS hit sitcom One Day at a Time, died March 1st at the age of 69 of pancreatic cancer.
GLAAD announced that Madonna will present Anderson Cooper with the Vito Russo Award at the 24th Annual GLAAD Media Awards, March 16th. The anchors of Good Morning America, Laura Spencer, Josh Elliott, and Sam Champion, are hosting the event.
Project Runway host Heidi Klum has joined America's Got Talent as the NBC show's fourth judge. Klum reportedly began filming with her fellow judges on March 4th during the first round of auditions in New Orleans. Klum will join Howard Stern, Howie Mandel, and Melanie Brown, who replaced Sharon Osbourne.
Deborah, the openly lesbian singer who competed on Season 3 of The Voice, is releasing her debut single, Coming Out Looking Good, on March 12th. The song will be available exclusively via Liquid Spins at liquidspins.com.
Wonder Women, the untold story of American superheroines, will air on PBS April 15th. The show looks at how popular representations of powerful women often reflect society's anxieties about women's liberation. The film goes behind the scenes with TV stars Linda Carter, who was Wonder Woman, and Lindsay Wagner, the bionic woman, comic writers, artists, and women such as Gloria Steinem.
TV star Valerie Harper of The Mary Tyler Moore Show and Rhoda has revealed that she has terminal brain cancer. Harper, who is 73, received the news January 15th and now may have as little as 3 months to live. Harper has a rare type of brain cancer.
Out Spanish filmmaker Pedro Almodovar promises his comedy I'm So Excited will be one of his most risque. The ensemble movie stars Penelope Cruz, Antonio Banderas, Paz Vega, and Blanca Suarez, among others.
The Talk creator slash executive producer slash co-host Sarah Gilbert is returning to her comedy series Roots with a co-starring role on the CBS comedy pilot Bad Teacher, based on the 2011 movie that starred Cameron Diaz and Justin Timberlake. Gilbert, an out lesbian, will play Irene, a shy, introverted drama and English teacher.
Joy Behar's leaving The View. Behar still hosts Joy Behar Say Anything on Current TV and previously hosted The Joy Behar Show on HLN.
Fallon Fox is the first transgender athlete competing in mixed martial arts. She won her second professional bout with a 39-second knockout March 2nd in Florida. Fox, who underwent gender reassignment surgery in 2006, along with the supplemental hormonal therapy, is scheduled to fight again for the Championship Fighting Alliance April 20th in the semifinals of its 8-woman featherweight tournament. However, Fox's license approval is now under investigation with Florida's Department of Business and Professional Regulation.
Edward Norton has joined the cast of Alejandro González Iñárritu's Birdman, the upcoming film set in and around a Broadway theater. The Fox Searchlight and New Regency project will also feature Michael Keaton, Emma Stone, and Naomi Watts.
Crave Massive, calling itself the world's largest gay club, opens in downtown Las Vegas on June 15th. The 80,000-square-foot venue will feature five themed dance rooms, video walls, three separate bars, a martini lounge, a gay comedy club, a movie theater, and even a retail store.
And two-time Tony Award-winning actress Patti LuPone will work with aspiring performers from across the U.S. in the April 1st episode of the Emmy-nominated HBO documentary series Masterclass. Portions of LuPone's Gypsy in My Soul concert engagement in Madison, Wisconsin were filmed for inclusion in the segment.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, I'm Amy Ray, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Levels okay? Stone cold, don't you know you are my heartache? And I'll go fooling around and chasing old mistakes.
Well, Lucas Silveria of The Clicks is on the show. Jerry Nunn sits down with him about the band and the new CD, Black Tie Elevator, and what's going on in The Clicks world.
Lucas.
Yes.
Hey, it's Jerry Nunn. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, man?
Great, great. So, I want to get to know you through the interview and hear all about your story. It sounds really interesting and my editor's excited about me talking to you.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Okay. Well, tell me where you're originally from. What's your nationality?
I was born in Canada, but my parents are Portuguese, so
oh.
I call myself a Portuguese Canadian, even though it's not necessarily where I was born, but I did live there for about 6 years when I was a kid.
From
like the ages of like 6 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I have a deep attachment to my roots, really.
Yeah, do you speak Portuguese?
Fluently, my friend.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
It's different picking up girls.
I bet. What part of Canada?
I'm from Toronto.
Oh, okay, nice. All right, great.
Yep.
I love that place. Okay, and then were you always into music? Did you grow up around music?
Yeah, absolutely. My I lived in this like little teeny village on an island in the Azores, and music seems to just be something that people use there, you know, to get rid of their boredom and whatever. And every single village that I lived in had a little marching band, and that was sort of my first exposure to music, was sort of marching band music. My dad played trumpet in one, and my brother played the drum, and my sister played the sax, so I had a very musical family. And my dad, I think he truly believed that he was, you know, going to be one day the next Elvis Presley, so I had, like, the Beatles and, you know, Elvis Presley records all over the place. So, yeah, it's always been around me.
Great, okay. So it must be rewarding to get to do music yourself and do all that, yeah.
Absolutely, man. It feels like it's just so innate to me, you know?
Uh-huh. And so do you get to, like, incorporate, you know, that kind of performance, you know, whenever you play live and things like that, all the, you know, how Elvis, you know, put on the show?
Well, I wish I could take a horn section with me, to be honest, but that's a hard thing to incorporate into a live show. But the music, you know, that I saw on the new record is really sort of like soul blues, more mm-hmm. on the, not necessarily like R&B in some of the ways that people think of like 90s R&B, but there is a rhythm and blues sort of like feel to it. I feel like I've sort of moved out of the, you know, hard rock genre, and I think that has a lot to do with some of the other music that I grew up with when I moved back to Canada. Mm-hmm. I really got into, you know, artists like Michael Jackson and Prince which took me back to like the old days of soul music. And then I went through a stage of listening to like a lot of like, you know, 60s sort of like blues bands like The Doors and stuff like that. So it's kind of like all that put into one. I really feel like I just kind of like went back to my roots in that capacity. So
yeah, it sounds like you've grown up a little bit too.
I've grown up a lot, man. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, you know. I lived my entire life sort of, you know my story, kind of being, trying to be somebody I wasn't. And I think in the last 3 years, sort of like through my transition, mm-hmm. it's just been this sort of natural, you know, movement to sort of move into places where I feel more connected to my past, mm-hmm. Musically as well, which is a very, very interesting thing to me. I'm still trying to figure it all out. I always tell people I'm a mere, you know, 3 years old in this body and in this mindset. So I did a lot of growing up, and I have a lot more growing up to do. And I think like that's, you know, for me it works because I'm an artist and I sort of thrive off of that sort of thing. So
mm-hmm. what advice do you have for transgender readers? What advice could you give them going through your everything?
Well, you know, the one thing I always tell people is don't ever think that your transition is going to be the same as anybody else's. Everybody is so different. Mm-hmm. Don't grasp onto, you know, these are the steps of being a transgender person. It's not like that. And accept that you can be very, very different from other people. Just like, you know, people who are born into their gender are, you know, it's just, we all have our own path. And that's truly my only advice, because when I was first coming out, I thought, you know, it was going to be the same. Everything was going to be the same, that I was going to take tea, testosterone, that, mm-hmm. you know, I was going to get muscular, my voice was going to deepen, I was going to get hairy, and that was going to be it. Mm-hmm. And it's been such a different situation, you know, especially for me as an artist. Mm-hmm. Nobody told me that, like, hormones completely, like, I guess I knew this, but not really super consciously, that, you know, hormones completely manipulate your personality, and they change who you are, whether you want that to be the case or not. I think it's a combination of that and getting to be more who I am physically, but it really, really changed me, and mm-hmm. I felt like I'm this completely different person, like a Jekyll and Hyde, but there was mm-hmm. definitely a sense of, you know, my emotional pathways aren't the same as they used to be, and it's taken a lot to get used to, you know?
Yeah, I bet. Were you concerned about your voice?
Oh yeah, my voice was, that was like the scariest part of all of it.
Right.
Because I was told for such a long time that I would lose it, which was the case with some trans guys in the past. Earlier days of guys starting to go on tea, mm-hmm. Because the doses that they took were so high, at least that's my theory. Mm-hmm. And when I discovered a bunch of younger guys who were doing it and successfully singing, this was only after 5 years mm-hmm. after I started transitioning, I was like, oh my God, I didn't realize this was possible. And they just told me, you know, you have to go really slow. You have to sing every day. Like any muscle that's changing, you got to keep using it. And I think that's in the old days, you can almost tell the difference of somebody who's on how they've done their testosterone treatments. If they've done high doses at the beginning, they have a very different tonality to their voice. And those are the guys that lose their voice and can't sing anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, any muscle that grows too fast, you lose control of it. Mm-hmm. That's the way that's my theorizing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it worked out for me, so I'm really, really happy.
Good. Okay. being voted Sexiest Canadian Man must be so rewarding. I mean, that was unexpected, I'm sure, huh?
It was completely unexpected. I mean, you know, I'm a trans guy, and at mm-hmm. the time, I wasn't even on testosterone, so mm-hmm. it was even, you know, stranger to have somebody say that to me, and I was just like, really? But, you know, I took it for what it was. I found it quite comical, to be honest. I mean, you know, to be voted something like that, it's a little bit funny. Yeah. But for me, it just felt kind of neat. To be validated in that way, and to have the public vote for it. It wasn't like a committee that sat together and said, you know, we're going to put this guy on and we're going to make him win. It was actually readers that voted for it. So it gave me a lot of hope. And I think the main thing for me was that there was, you know, just like when I was a kid, I wish I could have seen, you know, somebody like me in the public eye who had received positive reinforcement for who they were. And, you know, I got so many emails from young trans kids saying, you have no idea how much hope that gave me. Uh-huh. And I really had nothing to do with that. That was the publication, but it really made me feel good that the, you know, media was sort of moving in that direction.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So why stick with the Clicks? Why do you call it the Clicks? Did you think about doing solo kind of thing? Or
like... Absolutely. That was the struggle I had actually with my manager. I was, you know, towards doing this record, I was like, you know, it doesn't feel like what it used to. It's, I'm not a band anymore. It's just me, and it's always sort of been just me, but I've always had a band that was considered a band. And she fought me on it, and it was merely and completely based on what she believed was I had branded myself this way. And the music industry these days is in a very, very volatile place.
Right.
And to sort of start not only from the beginning genre-wise, where I've changed so much, not only in the personality that I was, but also in the music, to also go and change my band name, she just thought it was a huge mistake. You know, and I'm a stubborn artist, and I was just like, well, that just makes no sense to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I trusted her, so I kind of kept it. And then one day I was sitting with a friend of mine who I'd known for a long time and had actually met as a Clicks fan, and grew to be close friends, and I told him about wanting to change the band name. And his reaction was really interesting. He just was really disappointed, and I was like, why are you so disappointed about that? He's like, well, it's like, I feel like I've grown with you, and I've grown with the band, and it just sort of feels like all the changes that we've seen you go through, we feel like we've been through them with you, and we feel like we belong to that sort of storyline, and it just kind of feels like you're dropping it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. So I was really intrigued by that emotional response, and I decided, you know what, I guess that is what sort of I'm about. I'm about change, and the Clicks is about change, and I think life is about change, so it's just another extension of who I am, so why not keep the name? You know, it just made sense. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. Makes sense, too. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right?
So you went on tour with this True Colors tour before. Have you watched Cindy's new reality show?
No, I haven't. I don't have cable. I always tell people musicians are too broke to have cable, but I haven't seen it yet. I don't even know if it's on in Canada. It's got to be on in Canada, I'm assuming.
Yeah, the Wii Network, yeah.
No, I haven't.
So the new album comes out in March, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, end of March. We just decided to add another track. So we're hoping to make the deadline, but that is sort of, you know, our goal. And if not, end of March, it will definitely be out early spring, like in April, for sure, without a doubt.
Okay, and then people keep up with you on your website and all that, right?
Absolutely. Also, I wanted to mention that we're playing a show in Chicago. We're going to go on tour.
Yes, good.
And if you could put this in the article, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
We're going to be playing at the Township on May 8th.
Okay. All right. That'll be great.
Yeah.
I was actually going to ask about that, so perfect.
Right on.
So May 8th, so I will get to meet you face-to-face. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, man. Come to the show and just let me know, too. I'll put you on the guest list.
Oh, you're the best. So keep in touch with you through Twitter and all of that, right?
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, I got it all.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, it was great talking to you. I look forward to seeing the show in Chicago.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Don't forget to pick up the new CD, Black Tie Elevator, from The Clicks. It is dropping here late in March, so check it out on Amazon at your music resources, anywhere you get music, or check out about The Clicks website, see where they might be coming to you or how to get the CD. You can check that all out at theclicks.com. That's theclicks.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of March 11th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Lifeline Theater continues its 30th anniversary season of Big Stories Up Close, with a world premiere adaptation of China Mieville's thrilling crime novel, The City and the City. The City and the City runs Thursday through Sunday, now through April 7th. Tickets and more at lifelinetheater.com.
Don't miss the Midwest premiere of Naomi Izuka's Concerning Strange Devices from the Distant West, now playing at Chicago's award-winning Timeline Theater. Critics recommend this stunning, sensual puzzle box of a play, calling it smart, shimmering, and eye-popping. Save $5 off regular price tickets when you apply the code WINDY5. Visit timelinetheater.com.
Now through April 14th, come see the Writers Theater production of Sweet Charity, scored for a live jazz combo. The Chicago Sun-Times calls this classic dance musical a knockout. While New City raves, Sweet Charity is full-blooded, euphoric, soulful, and no-holds-barred fantastic. The Chicago Tribune calls star Tiffany Topol astoundingly infectious and adds, Sweet Charity lights up the stage. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org.
Janice Ian is known for her controversial hits At 17 and Society's Child. Her significant contribution to American music history and her long-standing GLBT activism. Don't miss this folk legend and new 2013 Grammy winner. Janice Ian, one night only at the North Shore Center in Skokie, this Thursday, March 14th. Visit northshorecenter.org for tickets to Janice Ian.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, this is Carson Kressley, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Well, Jerry also sat down with Tom Felicia. He is the queer eye for the straight guy who helped us straighten up and make fabulous, do a little zhuzhing on our homes through that television show. And he's continued now with a series of books and television appearances and all kinds of other ways to help us make our life beautiful. Well, he went back, has a new book called American Beauty, Renovating and Decorating a Beloved Retreat. Jerry Nunn sat down with him while he was here at the Merchandise Mart.
Thank you. Okay. Well, kind of tell me about you. Okay. Like, I don't know your whole background and everything, so I want to hear about that real quick, and then we'll move into your future
project. Okay, got it.
Okay.
Okay, so I studied interior design at Syracuse University. I have a degree in a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Interior Design.
Thank you.
I worked for Parrish Hadley, then I worked for Robert Metzger, then I worked for Jeffrey Bill Huber,
okay.
And then I opened my own company in 1998.
Okay.
Or 98, I think.
Uh-huh.
And then and I've had my company ever since. So it's about, we're getting up there in years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Queer Eye happened in 2001. And I kept my business moving forward while I was shooting the show for 4 years. And then after Queer Eye, I moved to Style Network. I was there for another 3.5 years, I think.
Okay.
And then, or 3.5, 4 years. And then I did a year with HGTV, and now we're producing a couple of shows and some other offshoots that are kind of in conjunction with some of my products and stuff like that.
Okay.
But new shows that we're doing, which I'm really excited about. I'm doing that, and you know, I'm also doing books.
Mm-hmm.
This is my second book, and we're already talking about doing a third, which is exciting.
Hey, okay.
And then I have my design company, which we're doing. You know, we finished Tina Fey's house. She actually did the intro to the book, which was really awesome. She's awesome. She's
okay.
And so we're doing that. So I just finished that, and we're doing like about 7 or 8 residential projects, from townhouses to very modern country houses to traditional townhouses. And then also we're doing work right now with Delta Airlines, which we're doing some big initiative with Delta, which is really cool. And so I think on product, I'm doing furniture with Vanguard. I have a line of furniture with Vanguard, which is great. And I love working with Vanguard.
Okay.
Cravit has a line of my textiles that I sell exclusively through Cravit. And then I have a subcategory of textiles that I sell through Calico Corners. I also have window treatment hardware that I sell through Calico Corners and another, and also through Cravit.
Okay.
I have rugs with Safavia, both indoor and outdoor, Broadloom with Shaw. And we have about three or four other licensed partners that we're kind of right now. I'm actually, tomorrow I'm going to meet with them, two that are here, but in other categories, like bedding and bath and wall coverings. And we're just starting to do a little bit more focus on trying to finalize our lighting.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I'm doing right now.
Wow, you're busy.
Yeah, so that's kind of, yeah, it's good. It's good.
Okay.
It's crazy, but it's good. And then,
yeah,
of course, and then doing the book tour, which is kind of like, you know, we did two big ones in New York, two in Connecticut. We did three in California. We did, where else did we go? Seattle. And then we did Florida. We did two in Florida. We did, we did three in Texas, which was really cool.
Wow.
And now we're doing these two in Chicago and Minneapolis. And then I was also on Kohler, but we didn't do a book tag. It was just kind of conversations about future projects together.
Okay.
And that's sort of what's going on.
Yeah. You're fortunate to get to do book tours.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do them anymore.
Yeah.
It's been a hard thing to get done. Yeah, so.
Well, you know, when I did the book, I decided that we just thought it was really important to. I just said, you know, I really think because people are not doing book tours anymore, it's even that much more kind of like, I just think it's great because I think that there's kind of a need for it. I mean, people are excited about it. I think that especially when there's a lot of, the Kohler was really great to work with us on the book. In terms of, you know, we used a lot of Kohler product in the house, and so that was a great partnership in terms of, you know, working with, you know, their product, and also, you know, then having this relationship where we travel and do events with them. We're doing another one in Boston, I believe, in May, at the Kohler store in Boston. So it's great, and it's a wonderful way to like sort of cross pollinate.
Totally, yeah. Would you ever open a store in Chicago?
I would actually, and it's funny, we were just talking about, I'm opening a To The Trade showroom called Sedgwick and Brattle, and in New York City, and I've been thinking that that could be a great product for Chicago. Chicago is one of the other cities that we were first talking about. We said, you know, probably if we were to go to another city, we would probably go to Chicago first. And the reason I think I would go to Chicago first, and I was just talking to one of the girls here about it. I said, you know, they said, do you like Chicago? And I said, you know, it's not that I only like Chicago. I do like Chicago a lot. I really have enjoyed every time I've ever been here, creatively and professionally and just sort of socially. I think it's great. And the city's beautiful, and I love it. But I think what's great about Chicago is that New York City is, I think, an amazing international city. And when people are in New York City and they say to me, you know, wherever they're coming from in the world, and they say, I love America, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, New York is amazing. I say to them, I say, New York is amazing, but if you really want to see an amazing American city, you should go to Chicago, because I think Chicago is the best example of an American city.
Mm-hmm.
New York is one of the best examples of an international city. I don't see it as truly American, you know.
Yeah.
I think Chicago really is a great, it represents the U.S. in a very, very, like, and probably the best way, I think, of any city in America.
I think so. I love it.
Yeah.
So, and you're still doing more Techie House, right? Is that over? Oh,
no.
I like that show.
I know, I did too. I did too, but it was, you know, it didn't have a long life because it was, you know, it was very repetitious. It was a tough show. We wanted to do one more season, but it just ended up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a difficult show.
Do you want to do more like TV projects? Or
yeah, I am actually. I'm working right now on. We're developing two different TV projects right now. So TV's always, you know, it'll always be there at some level.
Yeah.
You know, it's been really great to be able to focus on the book and to be able to focus on my office, and I'm liking having a little bit more balance between television and sort of, I call it my real job.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like having a little bit more of a balance.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be kind of off balance a little bit, and it was, you know, it was great, but it was definitely, it felt a little top heavy.
Yeah.
And so I'm very much enjoying, and my business is enjoying being a little bit more balanced, you know,
yeah,
what I mean, in terms of my time.
Yeah.
So I've been able to do a lot more in the last year and a half since I've really kind of pulled back from TV a little bit. And I pulled back from television a little bit because a lot of what is happening right now in television is not kind of what I do. You know, it's not a lot about design right now. It's a lot about real estate. And it's also, you know, I do think that it's a little bit more, it's more dramatic than design sort of driven.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about drama than design. So I just right now, and I think, you know, everything goes through cycles. So I think, you know, hopefully when you know, I think people are going to be interested in design soon.
Yeah.
And also I think with the economy improving, you know, I think that's going to be a great, that'll have a lot to do with sort of, you know, sort of the design coming back.
Yeah.
Like at that level.
Do you still watch Bravo? Do you watch any shows?
I kind of watch everything a little bit. I don't really watch television that much. I do watch a lot of I do watch a lot of HBO and, that kind of stuff, like,
yeah,
they're just think that the products they make, I love all that stuff because I also can rent it. It's really easy.
Yeah.
I don't watch a ton of television, but I do. I get a little bit here and there. Like, I'm not a big Housewife fan, so it's just there's not a lot there for me.
Yeah, I was thinking like Million Dollar Decorators or something.
Oh, you know what's so funny? I actually I just was talking to Mary McDonald.
Okay.
You know, we were just kind of corresponding because we're friends.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think they're up again. I think this might be their last season.
Oh, I like Martin. I talked to him a few times.
Yeah. Martin's fun. I've actually just had dinner with Martin. And also, what's her name's great. What's her name?
British
girl.
About. Yeah, yeah. I know exactly.
She's hilarious.
About. Yeah, she is. Kathy Ireland.
Yeah. I've had dinner with her. She's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
She's a lot of fun, but you know, I have to say, I mean, and I told them, I said, I love you guys, but you guys are making the interior design world look kind of like we're not so bright. So I said, pull it together.
Yeah, right. I get it. Yeah, totally. Do you still talk to the Grad guys too much or at all?
And I don't mean that in a negative way.
Oh, I know.
I didn't mean that in a negative way at all. I was joking when I said that to them.
Yeah.
I don't think they know. I don't think that they're not making interior designers look bright. I said that to them because I'm friends with them.
Yeah.
And I'm joking.
Yeah.
But what I really did say to them was, I was like, you know, I think the way that you guys are being positioned by the network, I think you should hold your ground a little bit and say, no, we want this to be about, you know.
I know what you're saying. There's this bumbling thing that they do, and they're dropping things, and you know, all that stuff.
That's, and stuff is missing.
Yeah.
We're out drinking all the time.
And there's drama. Yeah, right.
You know,
that
while you're working, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we, on Queer Eye, we weren't working.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, when we were being having fun, we generally, I mean, it was
right. It's two sides,
right?
Yeah. So yeah, do you talk to them?
I do. Yeah. Well, you know, it's Queer Eye is going to be the 10th anniversary of 10 years.
Oh my gosh!
This summer.
Okay.
So we've started. You know, things have started to percolate in terms of, you know, things if we wanted to try to do something or, you know, how we may do something.
That's exciting.
10 year anniversary.
So
we'll see.
Yeah, so people go to your website, they can keep up with all this,
yeah,
what you're doing. So.
Yeah, TomFelicia.com.
Okay.
And pretty soon we're going to have SedgwickandBrattle.com, which is going to be officially up in the fall.
Okay.
But it will be, we'll probably soft open it this summer.
Okay.
The beginning of summer, probably. And so that's going to be another company that I'm starting, which I'm very excited about.
Okay.
And, yeah, I mean, I've been, knock on wood, and yeah, it's been a really nice transition in terms of, you know, being able to do a variety of things. Like, I've been able to still do some really fun television things with HGTV, and sort of one-offs here and there, which have been really fun. And then the book, and still, you know, really focusing on design, and,
mm-hmm,
you know, just having the ability to kind of to do all of those things has been, it's been really nice.
I was gonna ask, what's your ethnic background?
Italian.
Oh, you're Italian. Okay.
Yeah. Well, Felicia. Yeah, Felicia. Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, so the true story of Tom, T-H-O-M.
Okay.
So
yes.
Everyone's always like, oh my god, T-H-O-M is so pretentious. They're like, where did that come from? And I'm like, okay, this is the true story. My brother's name is Julius,
uh-huh,
and he was a little kid. He's older than me. His name was Julie. We called him Julie. And then when he got older, we called him Jules.
Oh, okay.
So I was going through the mall in where I grew up, and we were walking through the mall, and I said to my brother, I don't want you to call me Tommy anymore. I want to be called Tom. And my brother said, oh my god, Tom is such a lame name. It's so boring. And he goes, you know what? He goes, you have to spell it that way. And he pointed at Tom at Canned Shoe Store. So, there's nothing pretentious about my name. Its origins go back to the mall, Tom at Canned Shoe Store.
Great.
That's how my brother, it was my brother who, you know, told me to do it. And I think he did it because everyone always, his name was so, like, for a young person to have the name Jules or Julie.
Yeah.
For a boy, was, like, kind of crazy. And so I think he wanted my name to be equally as dysfunctional.
Different. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I think
Tom
and Jerry's the
Tom and Jerry. I love it. And, you know, I didn't, you know, I went from Tommy. Still a lot of people call me Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became Tom. And then, you know, and I took his advice, but I kind of was like, I slipped, you know, when you're in middle school, high school, teachers are not really receptive to, like, they're like, what?
Yeah.
This isn't right. So really, I mean, and I started signing everything, you know, T-H-O-M.
Everybody, pick up many of Tom Felicia's books. He is an amazing designer and a part of our community, an American designer, and you can find out more about Tom at his official website, TomFelicia.com. That's TomFelicia.com. Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Hope you all have a wonderful week. I hope to have hot news from you straight from Springfield, Illinois, to see if we become the 10th state in the United States to pass gay marriage. Let's hope so, folks. Call those House of Representatives in your area and tell others in your towns in Illinois, especially people who live outside the Chicago city limits, to make those calls. The vote is coming up this week. Hopefully, we'll have good news in the week to come. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.